From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
The Mission.
Excelsior.
Redwood City.
American Canyon.
San Francisco.
Vallejo.
I'm from Redwood City, so I guess that's in the peninsula.
Coming up, we'll try on the latest technology and see how it feels.
We have to figure out if it's adding to our lives or taking away, and frequently it's doing both concurrently.
Then a local comedian discovers his talent.
I remember watching Sammy Davis Jr. for years, but I never was doing him. And then one day I was just sitting there going, hey man, you know, you're so hot cat, and who can make a cookie? And then I was going like, wait a minute. And I started doing different people's voices.
And we go to the source to tell you the story behind this week's Audiograph Mystery Sound.
There used to be a shack here, and he thought that it was inelegant.
That and more today on Cross Currents. When you got dressed this morning, you might have thought for a minute about which shirt to put on, or if your earrings matched your dress. What we wear says a lot about who we are. Now imagine a future when what you wear actually tells you who you are. Constantly and in real time. Your watch is your personal trainer. Your headband is making an action documentary of your life. Your bracelet congratulates you on your daily water intake and suggests eating more power foods. This isn't a page from a science fiction novel. It's the next big thing in tech, making computing less about smartphones and more about being a smart human. 150 people gathered in San Francisco recently to try on some technology. KALW's Christina Loring takes us there.
On the surface, it's just like any other tech conference. People are exchanging business cards, drinking lots of coffee, and constantly checking their phones. But they're not just checking phones.
I'm wearing Geiger counters, Fitbit Flex, a Nike Fuel Band, and a camera that I drag around with me and take pictures of stuff all over the place.
They're dressed like this because it's the Launch Wearable Tech Conference. That's right, wearable tech. And we're not just talking Google Glass.
We built a subwoofer for your headphones. It vibrates on your back so that you hear the low-end frequencies, but the people standing next to you can't hear a thing. You need to try it.
I sure do.
So basically, you wear it like a vest.
Okay. He's strapping this around my shoulder. Okay. So we're plugging my headphones into this, like, battery pack.
There's some music playing. You will hear that in your headphones now.
I can feel vibrations all along my back as electronic music is pumping in my headphones. For just a moment, I feel like I'm at Burning Man. Or maybe like I am Burning Man.
Now you on the radio, you have to see the expression. This is amazing. This is what we're going for.
Can you describe the expression on my
face? It's a look of pure bliss.
Wearable technology isn't technically new. The year 1975 brought us the Pulsar calculator watch.
The world's first solid-state wrist-time computer, now with date command. To read out the month and day, indicate morning and night.
1979, the Sony Walkman came on the scene, and people could suddenly wear their music wherever they went.
Sony introduces the only cassette player as small as a cassette case. The incredible sounding Super Walkman.
But now, most wearable tech isn't just for entertainment. Instead, it's for tracking. And the subject is you. This phenomenon even has a name, the quantified self.
I think that in a few years, it'll be unthinkable, it'll be ridiculous to think back a few years when we had no information on our body. We didn't know how our body state, our sleep patterns, our emotional patterns, our heart, how it was doing in the moment.
That's Nadeem Kassam. He's the founder of a wearable health monitor company called Basis. He's a big believer that all this tracking will help us change our health and lifestyle habits, and that it won't seem weird for long.
You know, just a few years ago, it would be almost ridiculous to think that we would have an incredible supercomputer in our pocket that would connect us to anyone at any time or any piece of information on the planet in the moment. Now we all have iPhones.
Kassam shows me the Basis band. It looks like a soft rubber watch. But on the back, there's a bunch of small silver sensors that track things like your heart rate, your temperature, how many steps you take a day, how much you sweat. Right now, it's a way to monitor your workout. But Kasam tells me that in the future, we'll be able to measure our emotions with these sweat sensors. Of course I want to try it out.
Well, your heart rate's escalated because I just put a body monitor on you.
Yeah, I'm really nervous what you're going to reveal.
I'm also touching your wrist.
Am I lying right now?
I'm also touching your wrist. And so it's calibrating on you. It'll go up and down. Immediately as you bring attention to it, it'll go up. You're oscillating around, your heartbeat is around 68, 69, 70.
Now, knowing your heart rate and how many calories you burn in a day, by itself, that probably isn't going to change your life. But plug into an app that shows you patterns in your habits over time, and the quantified self promises that the truth will set you free. Still, there's something uncomfortable about it. Google CEO Eric Schmidt famously said that the company's policy is to get right up to the creepy line and not cross it. Wearable tech makes that line a little blurrier.
These things are very creepy. They invade people's personal space, and they really interfere with intimacy.
That's Jason Calacanis, founder of the conference. He describes himself as a techno-optimist, but that doesn't mean he thinks all wearable tech is good.
We have to figure out if it's adding to our lives or taking away, and frequently it's doing both concurrently. And these wearable computers, because they're persistently on and they're persistently in a position to be taking video and audio, are massive offenders.
Calacanis tells me about a gadget called Narrative, a life-logging camera. It's a small, square, brooch-like tile you wear clipped to the front of your shirt or jacket, with a hole in the corner for a camera lens. It takes a photo every 30 seconds, and it's always on.
So are you taking photos of me right now?
I am, if that's okay. Yeah, so it looks like...
I'm standing across from Narrative founder Martin Schulstrom, who is sporting a Narrative as we talk. It's okay that he's recording me, because I'm also recording him with my mic. But in everyday life, even he admits that the camera is controversial. He still argues it's really useful in special cases, though.
Someone emailed us to say that her father came back from the Iraq war with a memory loss, so he can form new memories, and that they can include him in the dinner discussions about what they did during the day.
Schulstrom's argument is that wearing a camera is less disruptive than taking out a camera and pointing it at something every time you want to capture a moment. But I like to opt into my experiences and make a choice about whether or not they're documented, because once they're documented, they're not necessarily private. Personal data has a way of getting out. But before I put my tinfoil hat on, I find Sean Bonner. He works for Safecast, an organization that started mapping radiation levels and building sensor networks after the earthquake and nuclear crisis in Fukushima, Japan.
It was really started as a reaction to either government or industry kind of failing to provide that data, and so the community sort of stepping up to take care of those problems and provide a solution.
Bonner is wearing all black and is holding a bag full of devices with their wiry guts exposed, cables, circuit boards, and knobs, like a radio in a see-through case. These are wearable Geiger counters, made to check radioactivity.
People take them and attach them to their bikes or backpacks when they go hiking, or just kind of carry them around in a bag all day and then collect that data, and then they can publish back and show what sort of levels they were exposed to during the day and provide that data for other people as well.
This was some wearable tech I could get behind, so I tried the Geiger counter around my wrist.
So it's reading the whole area around?
Yeah, exactly, and so there's a lot of stuff flying through this sensor all the time.
Like what kind of stuff?
No, like radiation particles, like alpha, beta, and gamma particles are flying through this all the time.
Okay, so I can't say, for KLW, I'm Christina Loring, and
right.
I'm not radioactive.
No, you are radioactive. Everything's radioactive.
You heard the man. In San Francisco, I'm radioactive Christina Loring for Cross Currents.
If you want to see some of the latest in wearable tech fashion, head to our website, klw.org, and go to Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Don Reed is a nationally renowned comedian. Maybe you've caught him during his warm-up act on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. He started his career doing stand-up, performing around the country with comedians like Martin Lawrence, Jamie Foxx, Robert Townsend, and Damon Wayans. But he says when it came to getting big gigs like they did, he would never make the cut. The feedback was always the same.
He's too white.
Well, Reed isn't white. He's black. Talent agents thought his act wasn't black enough.
Back when I was just doing impersonations and hiding from who I really was, I wasn't talking anything about Oakland or real, authentic stuff.
His new one-man show, Can You Dig It?, delves intimately into his own life, growing up black and in the hood. He chronicles his childhood on East 14th Street in Oakland by embodying its characters, morphing into his strict mother, his pimp father, and his gay brother, using lots of music and dance, and portraying himself as the lisping, awkward child he was. I recently went to see the show and then met him backstage where he reflected on his performance. I asked him what his mother thought of him sharing his family secrets on stage.
At the time I started doing the show, my mother was still alive, and that was a big deal because I had to try to explain to her that I was going to be talking about the whole family. She's like, I said, I'm doing a show. She said, about what? I said, about the family. She said, how much of it? I said, everything. She was like, oh, man, okay. And I thought she was going to be a little uptight about it, and then she said, here's some stuff you should put in the show. And she started adding stuff. I was like, oh, yeah.
It was in this neighborhood, but I got the nickname Blinky because I constantly batted my eyes. And I actually started out with far more tics and habits than that. Let me break them down for you. No exaggeration. Here's what I used to do. First, I stick my tongue under my top lip like this, like a chimp, right? Flick it out, scratch the inside like a chipmunk, blink my eyes, and hook my head back to the left and to the right. Putting the whole combo plate together, it looked like this. And it felt fantastic. I remember my mother's loving words, stop doing all that.
Because I had such extreme facial expressions when I did my habits and tics of blinking my eyes and flicking my lips and my tongue and, you know, moving my face around, I was preparing my face for later on, because all I did was take it in. And then when I got into junior college, it was like, brrr. Then I'd look at somebody's face. I could turn into them. I could look at somebody's movement and do it, listen to their voice. I remember watching Sammy Davis Jr. for years, but I never was doing him. And then one day I was just sitting there going, hey, man, you know, you're so hot, cat, and who can make a cookie? And I was going like, wait a minute. And I started doing different people's voices.
The big gangsta. Here he comes, here he comes. Okay, now, your daddy was in a whole different category of pimp than Paul Chose. Your daddy got Chose, okay? Your daddy was smart. He wasn't standing on the corner, none of that. He was more like a madam, a middleman. Who hooked them up with apartments and knew fellas that were longshoremen and truck drivers.
When I was going to Chabot College, before I went to UCLA, every morning my father stuck his head in the room and said, baby, time to go to college. Not time to go to school. Baby, wake up. Time to go to college. Every day. And this is the same man who never learned to read and write, but he's going to make certain I was not going to be on the negative path that he's on. And me thinking I was just going to be partying and having a good time, he's like, no. You're not going, baby, you're not going where I'm going. You're going to somewhere higher.
How do you think the area or your neighborhood has changed at all? Or do you see an Oakland then and Oakland now?
I see a part of Oakland downtown that is going extremely high to a new level. Specifically, I was involved in a project and emceeing a show for the rebirth of the Fox Oakland Theater. They had a ton of incredible artists, and I was the MC that brought each of the acts on stage. And that resurgence, that's powering some money into downtown Oakland specifically. And in that manner, we're reaching certain points higher in downtown Oakland than we've ever been. However, our greater urban area is still in plight and danger. And in fact, some places are behind back then.
Now, Lee, I want to talk to you about your eyebrows, okay? They're just way, way too thick. And, you know, sometimes you look like a little wolf boy, not out of control. You look like a little, you do, okay? So here's what we're going to do to get those wolf boy eyebrows under control. Here's what we're going to do, okay? Each day, you're going to take your toothbrush. And after you finish brushing your teeth, you're going to rinse it off, right? You're going to brush your eyebrows with your toothbrush, okay? This one east to west, this one west to east. Do it, get your ass whipped, okay? You don't want to look like a little wolf man all the time. Do that, okay? So now, I'm knocking on doors and spreading the word and remember to brush eyebrows every day and all this, right? So one day I rushed to school, and my sometime friend named Waddell walked up to me. Now, Waddell had more tics and habits than I ever thought about having. Sort of got used to jump, blink, and spit, and he had a lisp. Lip it. When you're on coffee, you're going to lip it. You're going to lip it? Okay? Let me ask you something. Tell me something. Why did they, how come your eyebrows are sky blue? Why? Why? Your eyebrows are sky blue. Why? In my rush to get out of the house, I didn't rinse all the toothpaste off my teeth. I gave myself some Oompa Loompa eyebrows. Did not look good.
You could be anywhere right now, and you have this great gig in L.A. Why did you choose to come back to the Bay Area and to Oakland? What is it about this place that drew you back?
It's home. It really is home. And I found I can do these shows, and I will be doing them. The Tonight Show will be transitioning from Jay Leno to Jimmy Fallon in February. And I'll have an opportunity to do these shows on a broader scale. On the immediacy of it, me loving doing them here, people getting them and them resonating on a crazy deep level because people are from around here. I went to my alma mater, Fremont High School, recently to speak, to motivate the kids, you know, make them laugh and then send a message on the back end, and found there were no music classes and no drama classes. Things that were there 35 years ago for me no longer exist now. That is not good under any circumstances. So I'm trying to do what I can to give my time to 5-1 Oakland to bring music and the arts to all the Oakland schools.
To dig and be dug. That's it. Can you dig it? Because you know it can be dug by me.
Don Reed's one-man show, Can You Dig It?, plays at the Marsh Theater in Berkeley through December 15th. Details at klw.org. Click on Cross Currents. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. All week long on KALW, we've been playing you this sound.
I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry lands, springs of water.
We asked you to tell us what that was and where we recorded it. The idea for this one came from a listener. We love it when you send us places we didn't even know anything about. So keep those ideas coming. And settle in. KALW's Julie Kane brings us the story behind this week's sound.
My name is Betsy Rhodes. I work with the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission out here in the Sunol Valley. And we are standing in front of the Sunol Water Temple. It's a classic Greek and Roman style temple. It was actually built to imitate the Temple of Vesta in Italy. It was constructed in 1910. There's an inscription on the top of the temple that I forget, but it's from the Bible.
Can we walk around and will you
sure,
read it to me
sure.
as we go?
So I will make the wilderness a pool, as I'm reading around the top of the inscriptions here of the Corinthian columns. And the dry lands, I should walk faster, the dry lands, springs of water. The water temple was constructed by Spring Valley Water Company, which was the predecessor to the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission. And it was built upon the confluence of three historic water sources for our customers back then in 1910 to commemorate the higher purpose of water delivery. So what once was a shack is now this gorgeous water temple that really looks like it's straight out of, you know, ancient Greece and Rome.
What is the higher purpose of water delivery?
I guess from my perspective, it's that people can turn on their taps and they get their water, and that it's there when they need it.
And is this, how is this water connected to Hetch Hetchy?
It is connected to Hetch, well, not these literal waters, but this system is part of the Hetch Hetchy regional water system. If you're a drop of water, let's say, and you're in Hetch Hetchy Reservoir, you go down a complex system of pipelines and tunnels and you travel across, literally across the state of California until you hit a portal in the Sunol Valley over there where it officially enters the Bay Area, and then it passes underneath Sunol Valley. And, by the way, the cool thing is this was built, the system, Hetch Hetchy system was built in the, you know, 20s and 30s. Water goes from Hetch Hetchy Reservoir to the peninsula using only gravity. No pumping. It's pretty amazing that they were able to accomplish that feat.
This is so fascinating.
Isn't it fun?
And the what I really love, too, is that, so I'm here because a listener called me and said, you know, a sound that you should go out and record is a sound at the water temple. And that is why, that gives us this way to learn all of this information, just basic information about how the water comes out of your tap.
And about watersheds and the importance of water and the importance of, you know, preserving our natural resources. It's all tied up into one, really.
Well, audience, we were impressed with you this week. We thought this one would be a hard one to get right, but several of you knew exactly where we recorded. But we can only have one winner, and that's Paul Swift. Congratulations, Paul. We'll be sending you a KALW t-shirt. Before we leave you, we have a special farewell to a San Francisco icon. The Kitchen Sisters bring you the story.
I guess it's slack tide, right?
High tide.
Might start going out on you.
Yeah, well,
might.
The number one thing about swimming in this stuff, look it in the eye and go. You don't have to swim Alcatraz, just go out up to here.
In North Beach, there is a saying that people who have put in a lot of time cooking behind the same stove are called old stoves. You know, they could be restaurant cooks, home cooks, or they could just be people who love to cook.
All right, here we go.
There's this one guy whose name is Lou Marcelli. He's Lou the Glue. He's sort of the custodian of the Dolphin Club, and he lives in a little attic there. And he's one of the old stoves of North Beach. He's famous for his calamari tomato sauce pasta.
My name is Lou Marcelli, and I'm the Commodore of the Dolphin Club. My nickname is Lou the Glue, because I have a tendency to just hang out at one spot. This club's been here since 1887, and it's a swimming and boating club. We swim in the bay all year round with no wetsuits.
So at the Dolphin Club, there are a lot of old Italian men like firemen and policemen and waiters, and exercise a little, swim a little, and then they cook for each other, and they have a lot of wine, and they just sit around and talk about the old days and talk about sex and what's going to happen to somebody if he has testicular cancer, and you know, and then, oh, you got to give him a certain kind of liver, and they have all these theories based on what their mothers told them, and they cook food for each other, and I think it really keeps them going.
This is my headquarters here. So that's where I cook, right here. Just a little chopping board, and just throw it on, and that's it. When I cook, I always cook enough for a few more people. You know, like I've been a bachelor for 75 years. The family people, you know, they come and do their thing and they leave. It's the bachelors and, you know, people that live alone or whatever that just don't want to go home. They just want company. And they'd rather just stay here and have, you know, a glass of wine or whatever and a little pasta.
So many people don't have a place to cook anymore. And I think that when they get old and they lose their kitchen, they lose a part of themselves.
Lou Marcelli died yesterday. He was 85. And that's it for today's Cross Currents from KALW News. The team includes Julie Kane, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Laura Flynn, Nina Gensler-Debs, Angela Johnston, Christina Loring, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Ryan Miller, Seth Samuel, Stephen Short, and Todd Whitney. Today's show is engineered by Chris Hoff. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Martina Castro is our senior producer. Our executive editor is Ben Trefney. Holly Kernan is our news director. This is rapper Antoine from San Jose. You can hear him at the Treasure Island Music Festival this Saturday. Check the festival website for details. You'll find that at klw.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba. Oceanic youth, afraid to stay up late. White ladies in my nose in a race.